For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back to the Pixie Dust Podcast. My name is Annie Fry. I'm excited to be with you here this afternoon to talk with my friend Erica Murphy and co-host, and she is a travel agent with Magic Expeditions. Today's episode is about dressing for Walt Disney World, and this is kind of a complicated one, which is why we thought you might want to hear some of the tips and tricks and suggestions that we have. Erica, you plan Disney World vacations for people all through the year, 12 months of a year, and there are some variances in the time that you go that people need to be aware of depending on when they're booking their trip.
Yeah, and it's Florida, and time, you know, it changes. I mean, even here in the Midwest, it was, 65 degrees on Christmas? So,
yeah.
I mean, weather changes drastically throughout the year. So just kind of keeping a pulse on what it's going to look like when you're there, and just know that it's probably going to rain while you're there.
Yeah.
So just, you know, making sure that you are prepared, I think, is the best advice that we can give.
So in the summer it rains, and sometimes that's a nice reprieve from the hot sun, and then it just gets steamy.
Yeah.
In the winter months, I've been in December. Did I go in December? I knew I went in November. I don't know if I've been in December, maybe. January, I've been multiple times in January. And I'm going to tell you what, it was cold.
Yeah.
I was there in the third weekend in January, and it got to, at one point, 31 degrees.
Yeah.
That's not what you think of when you were walking around Disney World most of the time, that you were going to be legit gloves and hat and heavy jacket cold. So it does depend on the time of year. When you work with somebody like Erica, who is a travel agent, and a reminder, when you use a travel agent with Magic Expeditions like Erica or any travel agent earmarked by Disney, you do not pay anything else to use that service. It's a really, really smart move to connect with somebody like Erica, and I encourage you to use her. I've used her myself, Erica at magicexpeditions.com, and they'll help guide you and anticipate some of these things for you. So when it comes to dressing, you were just saying you have a list that you send to people to help them pack.
Yeah. And I mean, it really, like I said, it really varies. I have been in December before, and I was fully prepared for, you know, my cute little outfits with my animal print scarf that I wanted to wear to Animal Kingdom. And it was 65 degrees and I was sweating profusely, and I still wore the scarf because it was December and I wanted to wear my outfit, and it was cute and I was miserable. So, you know, just making sure that you, you know, keep a pulse on what it is. And 60 degrees is different to different people.
Sure.
So 60 degrees may be...
It's also different in Florida when you're closer to the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, and I have conversations with people when I come in, I just say, bring layers, because you never know of what it's going to be like until you get there and how you're going to react, whether you're in the Midwest or you're used to being further south.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, 60 degrees is going to be different to different people.
Yeah. You know how you react in different climates and different situations. I'm the type of person who, I guarantee you, if it is 110 degrees heat index outside, when I go into that restaurant and the air conditioner is blasting, I'm going to be cold and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it is not uncommon for me to have, you know, it's almost like a windbreaker that just rolls up super small, stuck in my bag. And you mentioned layers. To be able to have a sweatshirt or a jacket to throw on top, and again, this is totally subjective. I'm somebody who is naturally inclined to be cold. June, July, August, September, hot.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Yeah.
Maybe at the beginning of June, you might have a cooler, like maybe an upper 60s evening. But if you're somebody who runs hot, you're gonna be just fine on the needing the jacket thing. But you add in rain, you add in getting wet, it's gonna rain while you're there. Those extra layers, that not that you wear all at one time, but that you travel with, will make a really big difference. For the heat, My recommendation when it comes to heat is to make sure that you wear something that is going to let your body breathe, not some heavy, heavy colored like t-shirt, thick cotton t-shirt or something like that. And we've talked about this before, but if I didn't say this right now, I would be doing you a disservice. Wear something that's going to keep you from chafing.
Yeah.
And wear and bring like a chafe stick or something like that. There are a lot of different things out there that you can get that will help you in, especially in those hot months. If you obviously want to wear shorts, a lot of women will wear dresses with some like spandex bike shorts underneath it. But along with the heat and giving your body as much opportunity to breathe, bring some of that chafe stick, wear a chafe stick or something like that. Also wear deodorant a lot throughout the day. Ride, wear the deodorant. Get to see a parade, wear the deodorant. Watch a show, wear the deodorant. And have some for everybody.
Yeah.
Just spray. Sunscreen, deodorant. Sunscreen, deodorant. Deodorant, sunscreen.
I think people also underestimate how much walking you actually do.
Yeah.
I mean, even just walking from your resort to the bus stop sometimes is more than people typically do. And I think just knowing that going into effect, and I think that Disney does a really good job once you're in the parks of having places that you can stop and there's attractions along the way, that it doesn't feel like you're running a marathon when you're running a marathon when you're doing this, but just making sure that you are preparing yourself for those close to run that marathon. And you mentioned even in the summer, yes, it's going to be hot, but when you stop at those attractions, the air is cranking. So mm-hmm. when you're going in to watch Muppet Vision, it is cold in there sometimes. So if you have a little one that tends to get cold, or yourself, or if you just get off a water ride and then go immediately into that air conditioned mm-hmm. to have lunch, I mean, bring a jacket. And they also do a really good job of having the...
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm sorry. The lockers.
Yeah.
Can you see me on the podcast?
Yes.
And pantomime?
Yes. Three words.
My goodness. They do a really good job of having locker space to mm-hmm. where you don't have to carry it. So if you're planning on going rope drop to fireworks, you don't have to carry the book bag all day. Bring a book bag, throw it in a locker, and then
you
have it right there.
Spending a ton of money at the gift shops buying things that you didn't pack.
Yeah.
We have not used the lockers because we're a stroller family as of right now, but I said to my husband the last time we were there, I'm like, we were in Animal Kingdom and we saw where the lockers were right by the bathrooms on the mm-hmm. side of Spaceship Earth. I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know those were there. And I said, they were huge too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can see how those would be really helpful when you didn't have a stroller to use. So yeah, I've done over 30,000 steps in a day at Disney easily. And that can add up in, sweat and exhaustion and everything, but keeping your body cool by wearing appropriate clothes and lots of sunscreen and a little bit more deodorant, go for it. In the cold weather, and you were saying you were in December, and like I run cold in January when we went, I would say this is from December, January, and February. In February, you might have an 80 degree plus day.
Yeah.
But you could also have a day in the 50s.
Yeah.
The
in the same week.
Yes. Yes. Maybe in the same day. But the tip that I have that I think is the most helpful, especially if you're not someone like me who just is generally cold, is to pack, and you might feel silly doing this, is to pack a hat and gloves.
Yeah.
And the reason why, and maybe an extra pair of socks, and the reason why, it's the least intrusive thing that you can bring and not use.
Yeah.
If you wanna wear a jacket or a sweatshirt and tie it around your waist, okay, fine, but then you sit on test track and then the sweatshirt kind of falls off and you get up because you're hurrying out and then you lose your sweatshirt. You know, that's probably not going to happen to you, but a hat and gloves is small. It can fit in a bag. And if you're keeping your head and your hands warm, your whole body, especially with all the walking you're going to do,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be able to regulate that temperature a lot more. However, if you are going in January, check the forecast before you go, because when it gets below 55 at night and it's dark outside, I find it to be cold.
Yeah.
And I am somebody who's from the Midwest, and we experience in the St. Louis area four seasons in a day, yeah, sub-zero temperatures. Like, I know what cold is. I know what hot is. And it is deceiving in Florida, mm-hmm, how cold it can get.
Yeah.
Because you're just not thinking. I don't think of being from the Midwest. Florida is just warm and beautiful and wonderful. And why am I not there?
Right.
That's generally, yeah, the case for me. So.
Well, and I did want to note, too, that when it does get cold, all of the pools are heated. So
yeah,
just
too,
because you're going and it's going to be 60 degrees, you know, your little water babies can still enjoy the pool because they are heated. And, you know, it might be a little chilly when you get out. But I think they do a really good job of letting you have that kind of Florida feel,
yeah,
all year round.
That's a great point.
Something else I wanted to note too, and I think, again, at this point, everybody knows, I like the costumes. I like the fashion. Uh-huh. One of my, and as I said, I wore the scarf even though I was miserable. I am a Disney bounder. I want to wear the outfit. I want to be, because those pictures, I'm going to be in the pictures. They're going to be forever. So even though I may be a little glistening with my sweat, I'm like, I'm wearing my animal print to Animal Kingdom. Because, yeah, because of that. But I will say, you know, I see a lot of girls that are in the park that are wearing heels and wedges and, you know, having the Disney outfits with the ears and the little sundresses and look super, super cute. And I get it. I get it. I want to look super cute. I want to be in those pictures, too. But I also want to be comfortable, mm-hmm, and I don't want to have blisters at the end of the day. And I don't want to be completely miserable day two because I wore wedges day one. So, you know, you can still look cute and still have those outfits that are planned out and still look comfortable, or still look cute, but still be comfortable, and just, you know, don't go form over function.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to be there just to take pictures and you're leaving, those people, yeah, don't need our Disney World advice. They know, yeah, what they're doing, and they're doing something different. But if you see these folks that are there to you know, plus up their Instagram or whatever,
yeah,
that they're not doing rope drop to close.
Yeah, don't be them. Don't follow those people on Instagram and be like, oh my gosh, they look so cute and they have these little Disney bounding outfits and she's got the perfect curls,
yeah,
and, you know, and that's great and they do, but that's not realistic. Your curls are going to be frizzy. From a curly girl, your, yeah, curls are going to be frizzy in about 35 seconds after hitting that park.
I am a huge advocate of investing in good quality shoes, especially, yeah, I have four kids. My kids have not had shoe problems ever.
That's incredible.
I never don't have, yeah, feet problems. There was one time where I didn't. And like, I have a 3 to 4 shoe rotation that I go through at Disney to try to avoid the blister problem, which can darn near ruin your trip if you're not prepared. If you can't walk or if every step hurts. I've been there. I've done that. It is not pleasant. Getting a strong quality walking shoe, make the investment. It'll be worth it. It's probably, I mean, you're going to spend a lot of money on way less useful souvenirs at Disney. Start your souvenir purchase a month before you go to Disney and start walking in some quality walking shoes that give you the support and the breathability you need. But I also have a really nice pair of sandals that I wear, and I don't know what the brand of the shoes is that I wear. I'm not in any way, shape, or form compensated, and I definitely paid for them.
Are you listening?
Yeah. But, you know, they're the kind that, like, strap around your feet. They're, yeah, so comfortable, and they have so much support. I literally golf in them.
Yeah.
And enjoy the support that they provide me. But that gives my feet an alternative option to breathe some days. And I will switch shoes 2 or 3 times a day.
Yes.
To make sure that I'm not doing the same thing to my feet the entire time that I am on them. If your tennis shoes get wet, you want to have 2 pairs of tennis shoes.
Miserable.
So that you have a backup pair of tennis, yeah, shoes. So, I mean, my family, when we go, we will pack one of our carry-ons will just be people's shoes.
Yeah.
So that you have options. And yeah. I am not a Crocs person, except for the one time I was there and I was 25 weeks pregnant or something like that. My feet got so blistered and were so swollen that I have a pair of Disney Crocs now,
yeah,
because I had to pay for those so that my feet would get through the day.
Yeah.
And you do what you have to do.
But on the flip side of that, too, I mean, I have a pair of sandals like that that I wear every single day. They're made out of yoga mats. They're,
yeah,
like literally like the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn in my entire life. And I wore them to Disney thinking I wear these every single day of my life. This is going to be, they're yoga mats. Like,
mm-hmm,
it's like walking on pillows. And I was miserable,
yeah,
because there was no arch support. Like there was, and I didn't think about it. And I've done this a million times. So even though you have a pair of shoes that you're like, these are the most comfortable pair of shoes I own, I'm going to bring them. Like maybe just have those there for dinner. But if you're walking in the park, like I Can't even explain how miserable. I didn't even make it to the park. I walked from my room to the bus stop and I was like, oh, no. This was a bad mistake. Like, this was horrible. And they're literally, I wear the shoes. I wore them on St. Patrick's Day, where it's like one of the busiest days of the year for us. Yeah. And I could not do them at Disney.
Yeah. So. It's hard to know, but you got to have options. And you will find, for me, the key is to wear my sandals first, yeah, and get my feet used to walking while they are open and exposed in a nice pair of supportive sandals. And I'm not talking flip-flops. I'm talking like good supportive sandals. And then I usually wear those in the morning when the sun's out, and I wear tennis shoes at night. And then I'll throw in a pair of slides, yeah, or something around the resort just to
see,
give
my flip-flop.
Yeah.
To get flip-flop.
Yeah, exactly. Well, these are just some suggestions of things that you might need to think about when it comes to preparing to dress at Disney World. Of course, bringing ponchos or a really good raincoat, umbrellas, those are things that you're going to need. But really, with rain, you get wet, bring a change of clothes, throw it in a bag, throw it in a locker, and just be prepared to get back to the fun as soon as possible, because you definitely will. And if you can prepare going into the parks, then you won't end up with as many Disney World sweatshirts like I have.
I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah, I'm like, I need another sweat. No, my husband's like, no, you really don't.
Yeah, I have a rule where I have to get rid of one before I have to bring it in.
Like, well, that's a smart move.
Is it?
Don't tell my husband.
Yeah. Jared, close your ears.
Yeah, exactly. If you're interested in learning more about tips and tricks to dress at Disney World, especially depending on when you are making your trip, reach out to Erica, Erica at magicexpeditions.com, E-R-I-K-A at magicexpeditions.com, or connect to us on our Facebook page, Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page. We are there. You can send us a direct message, and Erica and I are the ones who are going to receive that. And we'd love to talk to you and just listen to things that you have experienced, suggestions that you have, especially if you're looking to plan a Disney World trip. Erica is the travel agent you've been looking for. She is earmarked through her Magic Expeditions travel agency. You will pay no extra money to use her services. In fact, I almost promise you that you will save money to get the best deal possible by working with somebody in the know, just like Erica Murphy. Thank you for listening to us today on these Dressing for Disney World trip tips. We will be with you again real soon. You've been listening to the Pixie Dust Podcast.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.